Thanks, Rach. I'm going to be doing our first Bible reading for this evening. So if you would like to get out some Bibles, or there's some words on the screen as well, I'm going to be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. So if you're watching at home, it should be on the screen as well. Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Hello, my name is Lucas, and I'll be doing the third reading for the day, and it comes from the book of Matthew, Chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And I hope you can hear me, but Merry Christmas, everyone. It is so nice to see people here in the building, despite the fears of Omicron. And for those who are watching at home, it's just such a joy that you've taken the time to be with us tonight out of all the pressures, but we come for worship. God is worthy, and so let's rest our hearts before him. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for saying that back. We say merry, but how are you traveling? How are you really going? Merry Christmas. How are you really going? Out of the three people in this photo, which one's most like you? The one who's holding it all together? The one who's screaming for help, or the one who's looking blankly into the distance? Now, I wouldn't blame you if you feel like you're struggling. We belong to a long history of struggle, and COVID has repositioned us back into that struggle. So let's start tonight. We go on a journey. Let's start tonight with some of the darker things, and then we can step more honestly and helpfully and hopefully into the bright lights of Christmas. So let me start here. We belong to a long history of struggle, don't we? And here's a photo from the Great Depression in the 1930s. You can see different looks on their faces. There's the sad look in the middle of the little girl. There's the big sister with a nice smile. There's a boy on the left who's calmly holding the hand of his big sister. It's a challenging time that produces a variety of facial expressions. My grandfather was born in 1926, and he spoke about going to school with kids who couldn't afford to buy shoes. So they'd walk to school through frozen puddles in the coldest of winter. Then came World War II, and in this photo, they've just captured a Japanese mountain gun fortress, and they're sitting down to enjoy the simple pleasures of a tea and a bicky. I was born in a generation with different challenges. Challenge to get a good photo with Santa, a challenge to post something on social media that looks good. Of course, that's just a joke. We laugh about the challenges of trying to capture a decent photo, but we know our struggles are deeper and bigger than these, and here we are with COVID. We're 2 years into this global pandemic, two more years of anxious uncertainty, tightened regulations, and people saying, I don't think I could survive another year of this, and that yet here we are, like the children in that photo from the Depression, with all kinds of different expressions on our faces, although I can't see them tonight. I pray that this uncertainty won't last as long as the 7 years of uncertainty that were there for World War II. I pray that the 10 years of uncertainty during the Great Depression won't be with us during this pandemic. And I reference those things not to minimize our struggles, but to remind us that we belong to a long history of struggle and a variety of expression on our faces. But this is why Christmas is so important. This is why it's worth putting in all the effort to celebrate Christmas, to go shopping and to spend and to bring it to our families and to enjoy time together and to make it a big party. Because Jesus was born as light in darkness among a people who had a long history of struggling. We sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Why was Israel struggling? They were struggling because they were in lonely exile. They'd been taken over by armies and they were living under foreign rule. And you know how long their struggle was? How long they had been in exile? Not just for 2 years, but for 14 generations from the exile to the birth of Jesus. So we pick up our story in Matthew chapter 1 and we read verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So this is a story of shame. This is a story where there's a few characters. We pick up Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And Joseph's a bit surprised to find out that his fiancée has a baby on the way, and they aren't married yet. And like a good Jew, they haven't been intimate. So he knew it wasn't his kid. What's he thinking? There must be some other dad. This isn't the future that he's planning. Marrying an unfaithful woman, having this kid in the first year of his marriage, navigating that family dynamic of two dads, one mum. It would be shocking, disappointing, upsetting. Here's a man from Israel already living in lonely exile, and now he's experiencing the pain of a broken relationship. So he wants to break things off. Joseph sets out to break things off. But he still cared about Mary, didn't he? Because it says there he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. So he's going to do it without a fuss. He was going to do it quietly, it says. But then an angel comes along and turns this story of shame into a story of approval. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So this is the story of approval. It's a story of approval by God. We're moving from shame to the approval story. And to focus on a detail here, we'll come back to approval. Approval by God, approval by the Holy Spirit. There's this interesting side detail that the angel doesn't come straight away, but he comes after Jesus had considered all these things. So he's discovered it the hard way. He's figured out that his wife's pregnant. He's gone through the trauma. He's thought through and had time to decide to go ahead with divorce, to separate. And it doesn't say how long before the angel came, how long he was left to kind of ruminate with this, whether he was struggling with his appetite, whether he was distracted and melancholy or agitated and in panic. No matter which way you look at it, he would have felt betrayed and he would have been ruminating. And in comes the angel and says, do not be afraid. Why was he afraid? What was he afraid of? Was he afraid of the angel being surprised by coming into the presence of the angel of the Lord? No, it says, the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. He was afraid to take her home because he was afraid to trust her. He was afraid that he might be hurt by her. He was afraid of a failed marriage. He was afraid of the shame and that he might have to absorb the judgmentalism of the people who'd never believe his story. And here's the important point. God doesn't turn shame into approval instantaneously. He doesn't take fear and turn it into comfort right away. Neither does he turn darkness into light overnight. Whether it's 14 generations of lonely exile or 2 years of pandemic or the fear of broken relationships, the light comes, but the light doesn't undermine your experience of darkness, which binds us all together in this long history of a struggle. Here we are tonight in this new struggle. Whether it's the depression or wars or COVID or something else, the fact that the Lord hasn't rushed in doesn't take away the story of Christmas. It doesn't take away the warmth and brightness of the light. The Christian life is free to be honest about the pains and struggles of life. It's free to be honest about the dark things, about the hard things and all the fears. We're free to be honest with each other and transparent before God who sees us anyway. And yet Christmas still has power to give us light and hope and love. For the angel of the Lord did appear, and the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had entered into the womb of Mary and conceived a God-child, bridging the gap between humanity and God, bridging the gap between the transcendent and us mortal beings, between our frail physicality and his transcendent spirituality. Joseph wakes up with confidence that he can go ahead with this marriage. And so in verse 24 it says, When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So this is a story about confidence. It's about faith. It's about the confidence to trust God who's spoken into his life. Joseph is confident to go ahead. His confidence is stronger than the fear of hurt. His confidence is stronger than his fear of being let down. His confidence is stronger than his fear of shame among his mates. He marries her and he gets involved in raising the baby. Joseph defies the social pressures. His confidence is stronger than his embarrassment, and his faith is stronger than his fears. And that's how it works with Christmas. Christmas turns shame into approval, and approval in the confidence into the confidence to be shame. Let me say that again. Christmas turns shame into approval, and approval into the confidence to be shamed. Just as Joseph went on a journey from shame to approval to the confidence to step out and be shamed. Is our confidence stronger than the embarrassment? Is our faith stronger than our fears? When we go to a Christmas lunch and there's people who think our faith is crazy, God's approval gives us a voice. God's faithfulness gives us confidence. God's presence gives us courage. So let's speak without fear and glorify God without embarrassment. Because Christmas means that God is with us. This is the news of the presence of the Spirit to give this child conceived in the womb. God is with us. This is the great news of Christmas. This is the light of Christmas, that God is with us. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is something worth celebrating, that the presence of God has come and bridged that divide so that we can come before him. No matter how our life is, God has come to be with us. I read a story of a lady who was exhausted, broken under the burden of motherhood. 6 kids, one with special needs, and she gives away every morsel of her energy and time to her kids. Does God even see me? Is her heart's cry. Does God even see me? Jen Oshman writes, religious people all over the globe pour themselves out, trusting it'll be enough. They cry out, do you see me? With the expectation that their deeds are tallied, hopefully more in the good column than the bad. But our God poured himself out for us. He knew the divide was too wide, the chasm too distant. He knew our needs would never be good enough and plentiful enough for us to reach him. Our sin and his perfection would never meet unless he intervened. Christmas sets Christianity apart from all other religions and worldviews. Christmas means God saw us, saw our need, and came down. I love this everyday story. It shows how Christmas is good news into the real life that we live. Christmas is good news for the struggling world. Christmas means that God sees us, he sees our need, and he's come down. And Joseph believed. Joseph trusted with confidence. He trusted the angel. This is a story of faith and confidence and trust. And although we haven't had the same amazing experience of meeting an angel, I have not met an angel, God is still expecting us to believe, not on the basis of a story of an angel, but on the basis of his 783,000 words of revelation in the full story of the Bible. Rarely will anyone believe in Jesus on the foundation of one story. But we believe through the recognition of God behind all these stories combined here in the scriptures, and that all these stories point to his existence, his goodness, his reliability. It's a brilliant book, the Bible, and it draws us all towards faith in Jesus Christ. It's a world's bestseller, cherished all over the globe in 700 different languages. And you don't even need to read the whole thing to believe. You just need to listen to his voice, because God's voice has always been and will always be trustworthy. He's the grounds for our confidence. And he announces, do not be afraid. And when his word comes into our life, he underlines this with confidence. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said, so that this revelation of an angel to Joseph can be trusted even by us today. And our prayer here at Christchurch is that you'll come in faith at Christmas, and here you are. Come in faith. Come to worship. Come with faith like Joseph, faith that stands up to social pressures and walks right out there into the shame, because there's nothing embarrassing about a faithful God who comes to be with his people, about a God who draws near to us through our long history of struggle, whether it's 2 years, 7 years, or 14 generations, it doesn't matter. God has come to bridge the divide. He sees us, he sees our need, and he has come down. So is this picture you at Christmas? Is this your life? Is this your family? Is this what it's like? Then let all the lights on the trees and all the lights in this room and all the lights on the houses remind you that the light of Christmas is God draw near. He's come to be with us. And he calls us to trust him. He cares about us. He knows us. He doesn't just look at our photos and our facial expressions. He knows us in all of our mess, in all of our sin. And he sees us behind the face masks, and he sees us behind all of our masks, and yet he still draws near. This is the mercy of God. Jesus was born to save us from sin, to call us to faith, to deliver us from shame, and into the light of his presence. And so we sing, O come, true prophet of the Lord, and turn the key to heaven's door. Be thou our comforter and guide, and lead us to the Father's side. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall by his word our darkness dispel. May the presence of the Lord bring you great comfort this Christmas, despite all of the darkness you may be experiencing. As the band comes up to lead us, as we sing this song, O come, Emmanuel, I wanted to mention that for those in the room, there's these books in front of you that if you'd like to look back into some of the clarity and fuller description of what the Christian faith is all about, then this is a great thing for you to take home. It's a free gift. Please read and look and reconnect, or connect and worship with the Lord who is worthy. Amen.